From NPR News in Washington, I'm Shea Stevens. Federal investigators are at the scene of a private plane crash in southwest Alaska. Republican former Senator Ted Stevens and four others were killed in the tragedy. As Lisa Autry of member station WKYU in Bowling Green, Kentucky reports, GOP Senate leader Mitch McConnell is among the political leaders fondly remembering Stevens.
In a statement released by his office, McConnell says he believes Alaska would not be the state it is today had it not been for Senator Stevens.
In the history of our country, no one man has done more for one state than Ted Stevens.
McConnell notes Stevens' military service as a pilot in World War II, his involvement in the statehood of Alaska, and his defense of the nation's military. In the words of McConnell, Stevens was always there, fighting for what he believed in, and usually winning. McConnell and Stevens were close friends, but facing a tough re-election fight in 2008, McConnell took the awkward step of asking Stevens to resign from the Senate amid corruption charges. For NPR News, I'm Lisa Autry in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
In Washington, House lawmakers were back in session on Tuesday after approving a $26 billion aid package for states. As Capitol Public Radio's John Sepulveda reports, just 10% of the money will go to cash-strapped California.
The state will receive almost $2.5 billion for education and Medicaid funding. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger had counted on receiving $300 million more for his budget projections, meaning state lawmakers will need to find a way to close that financing gap. Yet H.D. Palmer with the California Department of Finance says Schwarzenegger is pleased with this package.
And he also believes that California taxpayers have been shortchanged by the federal government in a number of programs, including Medicaid. And this funding is a good down payment on what we are owed.
The Congressional Budget Office estimates some 16,000 teachers in the state will keep their jobs because of this funding. And state officials say the 20% of Californians covered by Medicaid will continue to receive services uninterrupted. For NPR News, I'm John Sepulveda in Sacramento.
A tropical depression heading toward the Gulf of Mexico is now within 360 miles of the Mississippi River. National Hurricane Center forecaster Todd Kimberlane says the storm is moving towards the area where BP is drilling a relief well.
One of the main impacts from the system will be the heavy rainfall on the order of 3 to 5 inches, with some isolated amounts within the warning area of 8 to 10 inches possible. Those would be isolated maximum amounts.
Kimberlane says the system is expected to become a tropical storm sometime on Wednesday. BP expects the storm to delay the final phase of its operation to permanently kill its undersea oil reservoir by 2 or 3 days. Asian shares are mixed at this hour following word that the Federal Reserve is taking new steps to boost the U.S. economy. Shares are up in Shanghai, down 2.5% in Tokyo. This is NPR News. Jury selection continues in the military trial of the youngest detainee at Guantanamo Bay Prison. NPR's Dina Temple-Raston says the defendant is accused of killing an American soldier in 2002.
The man at the center of the case is a Canadian named Omar Khadr. He's accused of having thrown a hand grenade into a U.S. military jeep in Afghanistan when he was just 15, killing an American medic. Now he's 23 and has spent nearly a third of his life behind the razor wire of Guantanamo Bay. Under the Military Commission's rules, lawyers must choose 5 jurors from a pool of 15 military officers. 3/4 of them have to find Khadr guilty in order to win a conviction. In a break for the defense, the judge told prospective jurors that they could consider Khadr's age when they weighed the evidence in the case. The defense says that Khadr was forced to join forces with al-Qaeda by his father, who is an accountant for the group. Prosecutors say Khadr was a willing terrorist. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News.
New York Congressman Charles Rangel says he's not resigning over the ethics scandal surrounding him. In a half-hour speech before his colleagues, the 80-year-old Democrat apologized for violating the rules, but he demanded that the Ethics Committee speed up its case against him. Rangel's trial is not scheduled to begin until after the New York primary in mid-September. Former White House Social Secretary Desiree Rogers has a new job. She's the CEO of Chicago-based Johnson Publishing Company, owner of Ebony and Jet magazines. Rogers left the White House earlier this year amid controversy over an uninvited couple's ability to crash the president's first state dinner. I'm Shea Stevens, NPR News from Washington.